City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Peter Maverick.
I'm Amy Matheny. This Queer Cast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Always worth it. American Airlines. Offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow.
This is the Windy City Queer Cast, show number 142. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Peter Maverick.
Hello, Peter.
How are you?
We're heading into almost 150 shows.
Isn't
is that like
crazy?
A new marker? Or is just 200 the next one we really get to enjoy?
I mean, 142 can be the new marker. Yay,
142! Woo!
This is mattering to me. Have you noticed, though, it's just been these last couple weeks, and I know when I saw you earlier, we were talking about it. Life is just crazy light speed at the moment for whatever universal reason.
What is going on? On.
I don't get
it. Stop the madness.
I don't get it. I find myself thinking during the day, like, I can't fucking wait to get home and soak in the tub.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where I'm like, I just need to get home and
my thought is, I just hope I get to take a bath today.
Oh.
Mine is different than yours. Yeah, is what I'm saying. Honest to God.
That's why my cats looked all funny when you walked
in. That's why they look crazy. They said, Amy looks like a bag lady today.
She's male.
No, but seriously, I'm with you. I am with you because I have been... September has been a very breakneck speed.
I don't know why.
Also kind of just a trudging month for me. And it's just been not bad. I mean, I did have a death in the family, but not bad, but it's just been, it's just really been laborious, like heavy and a lot of deep emotion. Some of that's been deep joy and good stuff, but just like a lot of work and I don't know, it's that kind of back to school fever, but I don't feel as youthful as I used to running in with my brand new pencils and my brand new Mead folder that I was so excited that I had bought, you know.
Or my incredible hunk lunchbox.
There you go.
I love that. I used to bring moussaka to work. I mean, to work, to school. I did. I'd have Greek food in there because I'm Greek. That's what I grew up on.
Right.
And the whole joke from my big fat Greek wedding, you know, the whole, ew, you're eating moussaka.
Right.
Yeah, that was me. I suffered from that. I suffered.
It
was an immigrant
crazy?
Suffering.
You were out of town. You and I were both out of town. You were up in New England. Or
Connecticut. I got to Manhattan, though.
You did get to Manhattan.
I did get to Manhattan.
How was that?
Manhattan was fabulous.
What'd you do there?
Basically, I like this place. It's a chain. It's many of you listening from that part of the country, or I hear they're all over the States. It's called Chevy's. It's like a Chi-Chi's or a Pepe's.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to go there for dinner. So we were in Connecticut. I was like, fuck it. I want Mexican food.
You are a cheap date.
I know exactly what kind of Mexican food I want. But the margaritas are huge. They're ginormous.
Mm.
So, we decided to get on the train 40 minutes later, we were at 42nd Street. You walk four blocks, you're at Chevy's.
Yeah.
So it was delightful. And I went to this little Japanese store.
Yes.
It's delightful. And I bought my teacher some delicious sweets. And my parents were taking care of the cats while I was away. So I bought them some Japanese sweets as well.
Aw, do you have to, you schlep your kitties out to your parents?
They usually come pick up the grandkids, they call
them. The grandkids.
The grandchildren.
Look at how cute that is.
They love them. And they didn't want to give them back.
Aww.
So they were, you know.
You're so fortunate that you have that.
I know, right? I have people to take care of the babies.
To take care of the babies.
Yeah.
Did you like being away doing work? Do you like being outside of your downtown office? And because you were working, you were there to work.
I was working and I was also there for training. So the training was just okay. But in that region, it's very bizarre. That part, you know, we flew into White Plains in Westchester County. And Westchester County is like the rich of the rich in New York. I mean, these people have money. Westchester County is a municipal airport simply because all these people have so much fat bank, they have planes.
Yeah.
So
it's like going to the Hamptons and Newport, yeah, exactly. Newport News.
Exactly. And you're in these little tiny, we flew a little Embraer jet, which only seats 44.
Yeah.
At most. So coming back, there were 22 people on the plane. So it was really tight. And there's literally the gate to the left or the gate to the right. And it's right. not even a gate because they wheel out the staircase and you walk down the staircase.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a really tiny place. We were behind all these mosquitoes waiting for these like biplanes to take off and things like that. When we were out there, I was like, fuck, this is a tiny fucking plane. I couldn't even stand up. I had to stand up, and if I stood up, I had to tilt my head to the side. Yeah.
Cock
my head.
I can say that on the podcast.
But I do like working out there, but it's just, it's very eerie because it's a very, very, very rich place.
Yeah.
And, you know, the richer a place tends to get in this country, the more white it tends to get.
Sure.
And when I look around
in Connecticut, are there black people in Connecticut?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. No, okay. no doubt about that. There's all different kinds of people, but in Stamford, Connecticut, it's very white, and I get nervous when I look around and I don't see the rainbow.
Yeah.
It makes me nervous. It doesn't matter what kind of person it is. It can be all black folks. It can be all white folks. It can be all Chinese folks. In Japan, I was freaking out, but I just get nervous when I don't see that heterogeneous crowd.
Yeah.
So it was just eerie, but the trading floor there is spectacular, and the buzz of the traders and all that stuff. And I mean, you're talking men with lots of money who have lots of spare time when they go home to take care of their bodies. So they're fucking gorgeous.
Wow.
I mean, hot. Like arms
hot
the size of my thigh. I know, it's
hot
horrible.
And wealthy.
Arms the size of my thighs. It
you know what
delicious.
They say about the devil? He will be attractive.
Mm-hmm. Well, how was your birthday?
My birthday was good. You
Happy
know,
birthday.
I thank you. I spent my actual birthday, which was Monday, on Monday. I was on the beach. It was the last great beach hurrah for us here in Chicago. And it was like me, a couple of golden retrievers, and about six people over the age of 65. And I sat in my little chair. I got tons of sun.
Golden retrievers and raisins.
I know, it was hilarious. I was the most fabulous thing on the beach, but I was blonde like the golden retrievers.
Yay.
But I was sitting on the beach and I got in the water. It felt so great. And it was so funny because at one point my phone, I'd taken my Harry Potter book because I've yet to finish reading number 7. And I was going to read and my phone just rang off the hook. Like so many people called me for my birthday and I thought, God, my life has gotten so large and I'm so, I don't know, just loved how many people called me and I'm like standing out in the middle of Lake Michigan because up near Hollywood Beach and Ardmore Beach, you can walk out like 30 feet and
it's
you're still up to mid thigh
yeah.
and it feels fabulous yeah. and you're just.
And it warms, that water gets warm
it's
fast.
So
yeah.
great. So
well,
I
don't want to get your pupic in the water because, you know, you might get a little creepy crawly.
Oh, well, I'm in trouble then because I did. But I don't ever put my head much. I've never put my head under in years, I don't think, but I had a really great time. It felt great and it was wonderful to be out there. And so, yeah, it's always weird. It's always weird to have a birthday. It feels like it should be a significant day. It kind of is a significant day. And at the same time.
But as you age, it gets less significant in pomp and circumstance, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I think for me, it's like how much you grow every day. Or you make choices in whether you grow yeah. or not every day, you know? And also I had just come off, last week, my uncle passed away and he had been battling lung cancer for many, many years. And, so we had him a lot longer than we had planned on. But since I've been in Chicago, I have not gone back to my family reunion because it's always the second weekend in July, June, sorry. And I've worked in the gay media and that has just been very impossible for me to leave during Gay Pride Month. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to have to figure out a way to do that this next year because I tapped back into, you know, he was buried outside of Shelbyville, Tennessee. Shelbyville, as we call
Shelbyville.
It. And it's literally, I mean, it was this tiny little country church and cemetery, and like it's where my dad's people are buried, you know? And oh my gosh, you know, you pull up and the sign on the sign out front of the church that they have kind of on the street. And they built a ramp up into the church, which is big progress because I think we had like big blocks we walked into the church on. But obviously they're aging, so they need a ramp. But it said, you know, remember the wrath of God. So this is the kind of place that you go to. I'm like, wow, this feels peaceful and loving to have a funeral. But actually, it was really, really great. And I mean, everybody there is so old, and I haven't seen them in so long. And, you know, it was really amazing. And So I got to be with my family in a sad circumstance, but really an amazing time just to kind of be with your family and your people and
your roots.
My roots.
Your roots.
And my Uncle Jim was just this vivacious, funny. The man could tell a joke unlike anyone. He spent most of his life in Florida after he left Tennessee, and he was a huge Gator Nation fan, huge University of Florida Gator fan. So Florida totally, they planned his funeral around the Florida Tennessee football game because they were like, Jim's dead. He would not want anything interfering with that game. And of course, Florida, like, you wouldn't know this, but Florida stomped Tennessee. It was an embarrassing game. So we thought that was only fitting. And, so, you know, my birthday was kind of filled with this week of sadness and family and then led into my birthday. And so I was just grateful to have a birthday and grateful to be around people and do what I do. Yeah.
It's important to have that in whatever. Maybe it's family. Maybe it's a certain group of friends. Maybe it's a group of colleagues. And that was kind of the nice thing about the trip was to actually reconnect with a lot of people I hadn't seen in a long time.
Well, there's some people that you're meant not to really reconnect with. Like they come through your life at a certain point in time and they're integral to that part of your life and then they go on. Like I don't know that I, you know, besides a reunion that I would go back and deeply reconnect with like people from high school or elementary school. Maybe I would. I don't know. You know, some people, yeah, you hold on to, but it's
I got the chicken pox at my reunion.
Did you really?
I did.
Oh my God.
I had the chicken pox at 20 something. There was chicken pox on my, you know what? I was not okay with that.
Yeah. It's not, no. That's not what you want to get from the reunion.
No, that's not what you want to take.
Not at all.
That was a fabulous
reconnection you want to have.
And what's behind door number three?
Yeah. But it's interesting with family, you know, because I don't ever think, I mean, I don't know with you all listening out there, because I know many of us go through these passages of our lives where we're grappling with our coming out and I was maybe different than you, Peter, because coming from this kind of Southern, very religious background that I came from, you know, I think it was my own homophobia by omission of kind of like not presenting myself in their circle anymore. Mm-hmm. So my parents just had to tell them how I was doing or things like that. And not that it even came up, although, you know, for the first time in a long time, I got to talk to some of my extended family about what I do and all that kind of stuff. And you know, they knew that I was gay and all that, but we never had the conversation.
Right.
And you go back to feeling like you're 21 and just coming out, like I was like, wow, okay, this is what I do. I like talk all day long about being gay. And
there's that little jar too when you reconnect with someone who knows you on the other side too, and you're like, ooh.
Yeah. Like to go, yes, and my girlfriend, and while I work in the, you know, with companies and interviewing people about gay and lesbian, right. You know, and it was just like, wow, you know?
Yeah. When the explanation starts to come, and it's funny how I think it's, I always point it at, it's a linguistic switch. Mm-hmm. We change the way we speak often.
Oh, we do. I do it all the time and I hate it.
I know.
I hate it in myself. I see it and that's what I'm talking. You're exactly hitting the nail on the head.
We modulate the things that we say so radically that we don't even know we're doing it because it's just what we do.
And I think, you know, I think, well, in my head when I have those hiccups, because they're, for me, they're homophobic hiccups that I have, or homo fear hiccups, you know.
Absolutely.
And when I have them, I'm like, wow, what is it like for somebody who works in really mainstream corporate world and is listening to our podcast? What's it like for them? Like, how many do they have? Because I work in a very queer, you know, environment, universe. My friends are all gay, all of that. Some of you listening may only kind of listen to some gay stuff and read some gay stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe you have your couple of gay friends or your partner, but you don't live a really, your life is not about being gay. You just are gay.
Right.
And, I don't know. You're not a professional gay like I am. Like my business card says, Anthony, professional gay.
But I mean, I have to wear those hats too. And I noticed that it's in many situations, I find it, and I'm trying to normalize the way I speak and the things that I speak about these days, because it's important to me to make those worlds collide.
Yeah.
And just given the state of how everything is changing in this country, it's important for me to be one of the people who makes those worlds collide.
Right.
But when I first started working at the bank, and in fact, when I first started working with Windy City, you know, I work in hardcore corporate America. I really, really do. And there was that moment where, someone, you know, would come up to me and say, oh, you write for this magazine called Night Spots? Isn't that a gay magazine? And then there's that minute, like, you know, my gut was like, am I supposed to deny this? Am I supposed to accept it? Am I supposed to embrace it? Am
why
I supposed
do they
to
know
dismiss
that?
It? Well, yeah, why do they
know that?
Why do they know that? And what am I supposed to do with this information? You know, it's more than just a question. So yeah, getting involved in those and then you modulate your dialogue appropriately to say, well, yes, I actually do work as part of the gay media in Chicago. You know, it's like, yeah, girl, I work for that rag in the club. You have to. It's just this weird switch.
And I had this tendency, and I still do it. I still do it, and I watch myself do it. I had this tendency to just be uber gay. Once the conversation, once the wall has been even just slightly cracked.
Absolutely.
I don't mean that like I'm
No, honey, I unpack my purse and I pull my heels out.
No, I just mean in the way I talk. Like I somehow the word gay happens to be every 10th word that I say then, and it becomes like I've just gone, oh, great, the elephant can come in the room. Right. Exactly. You know, like bring it in the room, you know. So for me, it's kind of an all or nothing thing, and I still, you know, have a hard time walking just the delicate balance of going, yes, that's what I do, and then changing the subject or letting the subject stay there if it seems to with the other person. But for me, I think I used to try to justify it by, I don't know what, just like I said, like every 10th word would be gay. But you know, you just said as well that, you know, this is the kind of thing that's really important right now with our time and how things are changing. And that's exactly what today's show is about. It's extraordinarily topical today that this show is going out because this is going to be a historic, historic day. This is the day that the Matthew Shepard Foundation finally gets to jump up and shout hallelujah with the passage of the historic Matthew Shepard Act, an inclusive federal hate crimes legislation that was passed today. And that is a historic day. So
if you were one of the people who went to the True Colors tour, I promise I'm going to bring these two things together, and one of those purple Erase Hate bracelets, I want you not only to wear that every day this week, I want you to tell people why you're wearing that. Tell people why that's important.
Yeah. I mean, and we have the best person, Kathy Renna from Renna Communications, is going to be on with us to talk about not only this, also last night, the presidential debate that was on MSNBC, where Obama, Clinton, and Edwards all were asked a question about same-sex parenting and talking about
same-sex couples in school.
Yeah, to elementary school kids. So
shiver, shiver, shudder, shudder.
But this is why. You know, we need to be aware of these homophobic hiccups that we have as people. We have to have compassion for people who are slow to understanding through ignorance and their own fear about our community, and you know, really just try to be in the room with each other. And I think that's what we're starting to do with these conversations. And I always think that, you know, and Kathy, we'll talk about that with Kathy. You know, people are really being very hard on Clinton, Edwards, and Obama. One of them just to say, I support same-sex marriage, and I just can't believe we're actually in the room with three candidates
talking about it.
Who are saying I will approve civil unions immediately, and I'm not trying. For those of you who think, you know, we should still be marriage, it should still be marriage. It should still be marriage. However, we're all in the room. We're trying to work this stuff out. And
there's a dialogue, and that's what we've been asking for years.
Yeah, it's really, really, really huge. So we have Kathy Renna on the show with us today to talk about this groundbreaking news. And we've got already some other news going on, plus much, much more after this.
1963. Picture four guys under a street lamp with a sound and a song and a dream that would rock the world. Jersey Boys, the musical phenomenon about Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons, is coming to Chicago. It's Broadway's greatest success story. Four blue-collar kids working their way from the streets of Newark to the heights of stardom. The American dream never sounded better. Take the journey across the country, up the charts, and behind the music. Jersey Boys arrives here October 6th, and it's already been extended through next April. This new block of seats is on sale now, so get yours today. Oh, what a night. Jersey Boys, coming to the LaSalle Bank Theater. Call 312-902-1400 or visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius. Today we salute you, Mr. Camouflage Suitmaker.
Mr. Camouflage Suitmaker.
Your amazing skills of deception can trick a deer into thinking we're just a tree out for a walk. Or a shrub having a cup of coffee.
Shrub having coffee.
Tirelessly you perfect your artistry. The squiggly black line, the blob, the slightly larger blob. All in spectacular shades of green.
Green, green, green.
Thanks to you, we look fabulous in or out of the forest. With a suit that can be easily accessorized with face paint and a few twigs.
Dressed to kill.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, Mr. Camouflage Suitmaker. Because when it comes to blending in, you really stand out.
Mr. Camouflage Suitmaker.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Culture Club.
Culture Club.
Culture Club.
Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of September 24th, 2007, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Kinsey Six, America's favorite drag a cappella beauty shop quartet, combines rich a cappella harmonies and madcap comedy antics in their new smash hit, Condoleezza Palooza, at College of DuPage's. You didn't think I could do it, did you? College of DuPage's Mackinich Arts Center, The Mac, on Saturday, October 20th at 8 p.m. Check out the girls' website at kinsey6.com or call the theater 630-942-4000. That's K-I-N-S-E-Y-S-I-C-K-S com.
Northlight Theater presents The Miser, a classic comedy with a contemporary twist. A cast of Chicago all-stars headlines this tale of true love between a man and his money. With forbidden romance in the air and the family treasure buried in the backyard, it's a hilarious race to see who will come out on top. For tickets and info to The Miser, visit northlight.org.
Remy Bumpo Theater Company presents Stephen Dietz Fiction. Husband and wife novelists find the foundation of their marriage shaken after reading the secrets in each other's diaries. Fiction is playing now through November 4th at the Victory Gardens Greenhouse Theater, 2257 North Lincoln Avenue. For tickets and info, call 773-871-3000 or visit remybumpo.org.
Catchy melodies, divine moves, and gobs of hair product. Altar Boys is a hilarious, wholly inspiring musical comedy about five small-town boys, Matthew, Mark, Luke, Juan, and Abraham, trying to save the world one screaming fan at a time. Altar Boys opens October 7th at the Drury Lane Water Tower Theater. Get your tickets now. Visit alterboyschicago.com. That's boys with a Z.
Goodman Theater presents Passion Play, a cycle in three parts, a hilarious and unsettling trilogy about three small towns and three politically charged epics who stage the historic Passion Play. Experience award-winning playwright Sarah Rule's epic that exposes the thorny relationship between politics and religion. Playing through October 21st. For tickets, call 312-443-3800 or go to goodmantheater.org.
Next Theater Company in Evanston presents the Chicago area premiere of The Busy World is Hush by Keith Bunin. An Episcopal priest arranges a romance between her assistant and her wayward son. Faith, love, and loss collide in this provocative love triangle. The Busy World is Hushed, playing now through October 14th. Call 847-475-1875 or visit nexttheater.org for tickets.
Looking Glass Theater Company presents No Child, written and performed by Nalaya Sun. A touching and funny exploration of the public school system that demonstrates with humor, compassion, and insight why not one child should be left behind. The New York Times called it marvelous. No Child starts October 3rd. Call 312-337-0665 or visit lookingglasstheater.org.
And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com. And this is your Windy City Queercast News.
The Advocate asked Democratic presidential candidate Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton to respond to lesbian rumors. New York Daily News broke the story 1 week before the magazine's article was to be published, causing the gay publication to post the interview online. Clinton said, "People say a lot of things about me, so I really don't pay attention to any of it. It's not true, but it is something that I have no control over. People will say what they want to say."
A federal appeals court upheld a lower court's decision to dismiss a lawsuit filed by a trans woman who was fired by the Utah Transit Authority 2 years back and upheld the ruling that transsexuals aren't covered under the federal non-discrimination laws. At the time Crystal Edesi was fired, she was wearing women's clothing and taking hormones.
The American Civil Liberties Union is urging the Georgia Court of Appeals to dismiss a judge's contempt order against a lesbian mother. The county judge had ordered that the child that Elizabeth Hathaway wants to adopt be taken away because of her sexual orientation. The child has since been returned to Hathaway, but she wants the judge's order that she spend time in jail dropped.
A gay man was appointed to the Colorado State Legislature. Mark Ferrandino, former head of Colorado Stonewall Democrats, will replace Republican Mike Serbo. Serbo endorsed Ferrandino.
South Florida is about to get more trans-friendly. Palm Beach and Broward counties might soon join the list of South Florida communities, such as Lake Worth, that have passed anti-trans discrimination laws. The movement has gained momentum since the March firing of a male-to-female manager.
In other Florida news, the Miami Herald reports that Fort Lauderdale Mayor Jim Nagle's anti-gay comments and actions is creating a wedge in the black community. The local NAACP has taken a public stance against the mayor's positions, while some black ministers have been voicing support for Nagle's.
A former lesbian guest of Michigan's Tawas Bay Beach Resort claims she was attacked by another guest based on her sexual orientation. According to the woman, she requested that the resort call the police, but they would not call and ended up asking her to leave. A protest had been planned for September 22nd.
The Trevor Project, a national organization that operates a gay suicide prevention hotline, announced that it will honor Ellen DeGeneres and Clear Channel Communications Incorporated with awards. The lesbian talk show host will receive the Trevor Life Award, while the media company will receive the Trevor Hope Award. The Trevor Project called Clear Channel, quote, a shining example of corporate commitment to LGBT causes.
And Prison Break star Whitworth Miller denied all gay rumors floating around in a chat with site Digital Spy. I'm not gay, he said, but that rumor can't be killed. We keep talking about it. That's why I can't. And that's your Windy City Queercast News.
This is Daphne Rubin Vega, and you're listening to the Windy City Queercast. Yeah.
Well, folks, we will remember this. September 27th, 2007 is a historic day today. I was very excited when I got my email from the Matthew Shepard Foundation about today's passage of the historic Matthew Shepard Act, which is inclusive federal hate crimes legislation. And not only did we have that happen today, it was right on the heels last night, a very interesting question posed on the MSNBC 2008 presidential debate about children learning about same-sex couples. That question posed to Obama, Clinton, and Edwards. And here just to kind of talk about the political climate right now, what is going on and about this historic day, is our old friend, and I mean that in the most affectionate of way, as opposed to, see, I'm aging too. It was my birthday this week, so I can say that. Kathy Renna from Renna Communications, because she's my first call when I say, hey, let's talk about this stuff tonight. Hey, Kathy, how are you?
I'm good. You can say longtime friend.
Longtime friend.
I was looking for the euphemism.
I couldn't find it.
NPR. Longtime friend.
Yeah.
That's why she's in the communication business.
There you go. ye old friend. With O-L-E. Yes, yes. Ye old friend. No, seriously, Kathy, I immediately called you up as I was driving downtown for something. I was like, hey, can you talk with us? Because it's just, I have to say, anything around Matthew Shepard, you know, I think of a few things. And one is your name, because I remember being on Les by Gay Radio. And you walking out of the courthouse, you know, with during the trial and being in Laramie, Wyoming. And now, you know, there's this foundation and this work. And Peter was just talking earlier about True Colors concert tour. And, you know, it is this movement. And finally, you know, something has happened today. So what did happen today? And what is this passage of the Matthew Shepard Act?
Well, it really was a very historic day. I mean, I got goosebumps when I first started getting emails from a couple of my friends in the press who were getting, you know, sort of immediate stuff from the wire saying, you know, they passed the cloture vote, which means they've ended debate on it. It now goes to a full vote. And then, of course, it goes to the president's desk, which, you know, so we're not cracking up in the champagne bottles yet. But the reality is this is further than this bill has ever gotten before. Something extremely historic about it that the mainstream media may not pay too much attention to, but certainly within the community, it's trans inclusive. It's inclusive of gender identity and gender expression, and that's amazing. I mean, that's been a lot of hard work on the part of all the groups working on hate crimes legislation, from HRC to NGLPF and the National Center for Transgender Equality and PFLAG, and all of those organizations have fought to include transgender people. So it really, it's a very, very important step in, you know, getting this thing signed by the president, and that's the big hurdle right now that that everyone's talking about in Washington.
Well, and also the big thing is that this was spearheaded in a bipartisan way with a Republican and a Democrat.
Right.
Talk about those two individuals and what that has looked like, having that bipartisan, spearheading that kind of.
Sends a really strong message. I think that, you know, in some ways, when I read Judy Shepard's statement, it was very moving, because she is, you know, she and Dennis both are nothing if not a class act. They certainly understand the context in which they have been sort of thrust into this community and this work. And, you know, she said she was really humbled by the fact that they named it the Matthew Shepard Act, but that she knew this was about a lot more people than that. And, you know, in an interesting way, this issue kind of got on the map after Matthew was killed, but what she's done and what a lot of us have done, you know, in the 9 years since that happened, is to try and explain that this is not an uncommon occurrence. It's something that happens all the time. It happens to all kinds of people. And it's not about being gay. It's about the perception of being gay or lesbian or bisexual or transgender that is the impetus for the hate crime. So you can be straight,
right?
You know, and be perceived to be gay. So it's really it's nonpartisan. It's non-sexual orientation related in some ways. You know, you don't have to be gay to care about this. You don't have to be a Democrat. So, you know, Edward Kennedy, who has a longstanding, you know, incredible ally to the LGBT community, was one of the co-sponsors, and the other was Oregon Senator Gordon Smith, and he's a Republican co-sponsor, and he said something very, very interesting today. He said, "We cannot fight terror abroad and accept terror at home," and I think that's another message about hate crimes that certainly something I spent an awful lot of time talking about the days before I was standing in front of that courthouse in Laramie, and for the years since, which is that hate crimes are perpetrated on people, not just to hurt that one person. You know, they're meant to send a message. They're meant to strike fear in the heart of an entire group of people, because they're not just beating up that one person. They're not killing that one person. They're beating them or attacking them and killing them because they're part of a population or a community. And so there's there's a strong argument for, you know, hate crimes legislation being a real deterrent to, you know, accepting this kind of behavior in our culture around all kinds of things. But now, hopefully, in the near future, law enforcement will have some of the tools they need to include sexual orientation and gender identity expression in that, in when they're doing prosecutions and when they're trying to investigate hate crimes.
It's interesting, because you said with Senator Smith, who is the Republican from Oregon, who is one of the leaders on this, when he utilized the word terror. And I think that's smart and obviously savvy politics, because the buck is going to stop either at on Bush's desk or not. And this is a word that he has thrown around and he has utilized now for his entire presidency, especially since September 11th. What kind of message do you think he was trying to send in using that kind of language?
Well, I think the message is that terror is something that many people in our country, in America, are not unfamiliar with on a daily basis. You know, and I remember poignantly after Judy started to become more public and speak out that, you know, when she met parents of LGBT people, you know, the thing that made them, in many cases, the most worried about their child when their child came out to them was that they were afraid for them. I mean, my mother. You know, especially because for those that don't know me, I mean, I present as sort of androgynous, you know, and I've got short hair and all of that. And, you know, she saw me as a target. You know, she really understood that coming out and being out was something that could be, you know, hazardous to my health, you know, extremely dangerous. And, you know, I learned at GLAAD the hard way. I mean, I certainly got enough hate mail for every time I was on television or, you know, quoted in something and speaking out against Dr. Laura or Michael Savage or Eminem or whatever, we would get hate mail. And
Why didn't I get hate mail? It's because I'm a voice, right? They don't see me or something. I've talked about all those people with you.
Well, no, you know, it's interesting. I used to go on Fox a lot, and I still do every once in a while.
There you go. Mm.
That's usually the place where, you know,
yeah,
you get the most hate mail.
I'm preaching to the choir, you know, on a gay radio show. Right. You're like going out to the front lines, lady. Let me tell you.
So, Kathy,
probably get different kinds of emails.
Kathy, best case scenario, what kind of timeline could we actually see to get this legislation serious firmly in the books? Any ideas on
that's
that?
That's a really good question, probably better answered by the lobbyists. I don't really know. I know that, you know, what happens next is they try to get, you know, the entire Senate to vote on this. And then the interesting thing, which, you know, is now sort of the insider baseball topic of debate in Washington, is that, you know, this is attached to a defense bill.
Right.
Absolutely.
And that's been done very intentionally. I mean, this happens a lot in Washington. It's one of the reasons why I think in some ways people like just stop understanding how politics works, because it's also convoluted and in some ways sort of not underhanded, but just sort of like it's like playing poker. I mean, it's really, really interesting. But this bill basically is a defense bill that allocates billions of dollars for spending in Iraq, which they know the president, who is essentially a lame duck at this point, has to sign.
Right.
Because that's all he's been saying, is that we need more money, we need to stay the course, et cetera, et cetera. You know, and so he can't just veto parts of it. So
right.
If he gets
right.
the whole thing plopped on his desk, he either signs it or he doesn't. And if he doesn't sign it, the consequences of that are now weighed against the consequences of vetoing it, because it contains the hate crimes legislation. So, you know, a lot of this comes down to exactly what's been happening for the last, you know, decade of work, is that people need to get on the phone, get on email, go to HRC's website, go to NGLPF's website, go to, you know, Stonewall Democrats' website, look at, you know, who your representative is, and email them and tell them, you know, how you feel, depending on how they voted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it was a pretty strong cloture vote. It was 60-39. So, you know, it's anticipated that the vote will go well with, you know, the full House, but, you know, it's going to be interesting to see. We've gotten close before, but never this close. So, you know, in that way alone, it definitely shows progress, and it's exciting.
Well, for one of those votes, one of the people who would, one of the senators, in our neck
who
of the woods.
You should be calling and sending an email to. And actually, just to let people know, most of the senators these days, this is the brilliant thing. You can go to their own personal website and you can get messages directly to them.
Yeah.
I sent messages both to Barack Obama and to Dick Durbin, and they both came back with responses, and it wasn't immediate. So someone
right.
actually did sit there and look and listen and hear what I said. So it is that easy to go on a web page and send a message to your senator. You don't have to do a lot of phone chasing to get through to them.
Right. But so we had senators talking last night.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Obama is, you know, who Peter and I would have called,
yes.
You know, on any of this kind of legislation.
We will be calling.
We will continue to call or email.
Mm-hmm.
But last night on MSNBC, it was a 2008 presidential candidate debate with John Edwards, Barack Obama, and Hillary Clinton. Though this was not like the logo debate where we had an entire forum to talk about GLBT issues, we did come up.
Why
don't you tell us a little bit, Kathy, about what was asked last night?
Sure. You know, and it's very interesting because I think, you know, the HRC forum was so unique and historic in its own way. But, you know, the reality is it's really been great to see the issues come up in all of the general debates.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Whether it's the YouTube debates on CNN or this MSNBC thing. But it was very interesting because there was a reporter there, a journalist from New England Cable News in Massachusetts, which is a very very good cable network. They do a lot of stuff on gay and lesbian issues. And she asked the candidates how they felt about, she didn't name the book. The book is actually called King and King, and it's a book that was used in a number of schools in Massachusetts, and it's a kid's book. It was used in the second grade, and it's essentially the story of a little boy who's a prince who grows up and decides he does not want to marry a princess. He wants to marry another prince.
Mm-hmm.
So he becomes a king, and so does his husband. short version of it. It's actually a very sweet book, and it's very age-appropriate. You know,
yeah.
I mean, this is the thing that, you know, I work with Family Pride, and we work with a lot of other organizations that do family work and work in schools. And, you know, I was thrilled to see that they asked the question, because what's, you know, the reality is that kids, I mean, I have a two-year-old, and she asked, you know, she thought Daddy was like a name. She thought it was Bob or, you know, Jim. It's like, no, that's a title. It's like, Mommy, we have to explain things to her. And she's two, you know?
Right. Mm.
Kids are at all ages are talking about this. They're talking about gay and lesbian people. They see us. They know us. We're on television. You know, we're in our neighborhoods and churches. And so,
and in Massachusetts, it's legal for same-sex marriage, mm-hmm. so
right.
that state may have a reason to have these kind of school books in the second in elementary school.
Curricular.
Absolutely. You know, we work with Women's Educational Media, which, you know, does a lot of work in schools and has a film called That's a Family that talks about diverse families and includes same-sex parents and gay and lesbian families. And, you know, that occasionally causes a bit of a controversy, but the reality is there are families like that everywhere now.
Right.
So kids are talking about it, and I strongly believe that there are age-appropriate ways to talk to kids of all ages, whether they're 2, whether they're 8, whether they're 12, whether they're 18, right?
Mm-hmm, so, absolutely.
You know, and I know from my own experience of having a 2-year-old and being around a lot of kids that have straight parents that ask us, why does Rosemary have 2 mommies? So, you know, it was important that they asked. What was interesting was that, you know, frankly, it was a yes-no question, you know?
Right.
And the candidates did what, you know, I think all of us kind of groan at, you know, and they said yes, essentially. John Edwards actually, I think, gave the strongest yes answer. I mean, basically said that, you know, yes, absolutely. I think, you know, kids should read this book. He wavered slightly when she said second grade. He went, well, that might be a little tough. But the reality is he said kids should talk about this. And he says that in his HRC form as well. But then he said something which I thought was really, actually it was sort of sad, I thought a little. He said that, you know, while he would lead efforts to ensure equal benefits for same-sex couples, he says children, you know, are the ones that are going to be the generation that leads us, you know, leaves this legacy that, you know, we're going to get to the land of equality and same-sex marriage and all of that. And it's like, you can do that.
Yeah.
Create that legacy. You know, leave it to your kids, you know. A little bit of a cop-out. And then, you know, Obama and Clinton, they didn't really answer the question directly. You know, we know how they feel about hate crimes legislation. So they went to something they know. You know, the fact is that these are complex issues, and you need to address them straight on. You know, and frankly, even with the wishy-washy answer that Clinton and Obama gave, Mitt Romney still sent out a statement blasting them, saying, oh, you know, they're supporting the gay agenda. You know, they think that little kids should be learning about same-sex marriage. And, you know, so I think it's really, really important that these candidates all start to really think about how they're answering these questions and find a way to be sort of true to their values and be honest. I mean, people know that they all pretty much said yes, just say yes. You know,
yeah.
It's really, really, it was fascinating to watch the video, which is actually available online if folks are interested. It's on MSNBC's website. But you know, it's just another step in the election, and I'm sure we're going to see a lot more of it.
Yeah, I actually love to watch them spinning their wheels when they encounter issues like this, because some people do it very well and some people do it very poorly. But the fact that they're sort of stewing in their own juices for a moment, I just love that. I love that they're having this reaction to it, because like you said, it could, and in many ways, it just should be a binary answer. But to watch them really tackle it and craft something around it, it makes me happy. I think, yes, say the word homosexual again, Clinton. Say it again. I want to hear it. Say gay marriage.
Yeah.
Right. And it is yes, no, but then you have to explain why you're saying yes.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, to come out with a position and then explain it. But still, I love watching them stew over it. It just makes me happy. I'm like, finally.
Well, and the more time that we can have talking about these issues
absolutely.
In a forum on MSNBC, I'm totally game for that. We were just discussing earlier that, you know, having these stories, having these topics being discussed at all right now is such progress. You know, that it's exactly where we need to be. And even though people really just want them all three to say, yes, I support same-sex marriage, and it's not
we
enough for
the
them
gay.
To say civil unions is what I'm going to do. We're all in there talking about it, and we're debating about it. And, you know, it is hopefully chipping away at fear and ignorance from the many people who are going to hear this conversation continue up until I think the president is picked.
Yeah. And even the naysayers like Mitt Romney, he's blasting out our message, whether or not he's approving it or condoning it. Our message is still getting out there,
right?
that we're talking about in the news. Nah, nah.
Exactly. Well, Kathy, I so appreciate you coming on and talking with us today and updating us on this very historic occasion. We will continue to touch base with you as this Matthew Shepard Foundation or the Matthew Shepard Act unfolds. And, you know, we're going to continue election coverage with you as well. So
great.
Thank you so much. And we will talk with you soon.
Okay. Take care, guys.
And thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This show is brought to you in part by Bud Light. Bud Light, always worth it.
And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
And Broadway in Chicago, for the hottest tickets in town, visit broadwayinchicago.com.
So that's our show. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Peter Maverick. Please comment on our shows on our website and in iTunes.
The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it.
Windy City Queercast, queer and now.
Let's celebrate. To last throughout the years. So bring your good times and your laughter too. We gon' celebrate and party with you. Come on now.
Celebration.
Let's all celebrate and have a good time. Yeah, yeah.
The best and the brightest served up daily by the sharpest minds in content delivery, Pod Show and Limelight.